Hey guys, Nate Sweeney, the directional leader of the Abiding Network here, and I personally want to say thank you for checking out the Abiding Life podcast. Our heart in sharing this podcast is that we can give you practical, spiritual, biblical tools to help you on your journey of intimacy with Christ. If you want to get more biblical resources, or if you're interested in partnering us with prayer and financial support, you can check us out at www.abidingnetwork.com, where we have many ministry resources to help you on your journey. Thank you so much for checking out the Abiding Life podcast, and God bless you. Hey guys, Nate Sweeney, the directional leader of the Abiding Network, back with you on the Abiding Life podcast. We are in episode 34. Today we'll be talking about the I'm a Catalyst church membership booklet, gospel-centered teaching and preaching. So this is one of those conversations where this is characteristic number five. We just talked about doctrine, theology, and what that one is, but this one here, I think, should be a no-brainer, but in my experience with the local church in America, sometimes the gospel gets muddied, and we add things to the gospel that aren't the gospel, and when I speak of the gospel, that the Greek word there just means good news, but good news of what? When we talk about the biblical gospel, we've got to have a clear understanding what that means. A lot of people want to add to the gospel, and that's such a dangerous place to be, because you don't have to add anything to Jesus. Jesus is it. But many times we add. So let's get into this. So a couple of assumptions. I think you know what an assumption is. When we assume something, we can get in deep trouble. Well, this is an assumption that many times church leaders make, at least in my circles. I remember years ago, I preached a message. I was talking about something, and I ended up giving an example using the David and Goliath. Somebody came up to me afterward. This lady was an atheist. She'd been coming to our church for a while, and just again, an amazing story of what God did in her life. But her whole thing was, she said, "Who's that David and Goliath you were talking about?" And I said, "You've never heard of David and Goliath?" And even culturally, most people have heard of David and Goliath. She said, I was lost. And so we started realizing the culture in America, the normative conversations are not normative anymore. So we had to realize there were these assumptions we were making. So number one, among us, there is an automatic understood assumption or consensus about what sin is, about what right and wrong is, and we cannot afford to assume this. So used to be that moral values, even if it wasn't people that were Christians and believed in Christianity, there was still this mindset of morality that you just don't cross certain lines. Well, we can't assume that anymore. The second assumption, among us, there is an automatic and understood consensus relative to what grace looks like in practical daily living in our lives. And you just can't assume that anymore. A lot of people take grace and make it less than what it is or more than what it is. Many people in today's circles are teaching that because of grace, we don't have to repent of sin. Because of grace, everybody's ultimately going to be saved because God's grace reconciled him back to everybody. So there's no need for the gospel. There's no need for salvation. Everybody, it's called reconciliation. Wonderful. And so we have to understand, well, what is grace? A lot of people don't preach grace strong enough. They still want legalism and law, and I still got to do something to earn for God, and that's not grace. And so that's a second assumption. The third one, there is among us, there is an automatic and understood consensus relative to what holiness is and whether or not we would even embrace holiness if we fully knew what it was. And I laugh because, you know, in my experience, man, people look at you cross-eyed sometimes in the church and well, holiness? Like, what is that? And, you know, people that are in the church and call themselves Christians and are living ungodly, fully just in your face, sinful lifestyles, and they're just looking at you like, "Well, what's holiness?" And, "Well, God freed me. I don't have to, you know, live a certain lifestyle. I'm free in Christ." And you know, they take that verse in Romans where Paul says, "Because of grace, should we continue in sin?" And he said, "Certainly not." You know, grace actually empowers us from sin, not into sin. Titus talks about the grace of God delivers us and gives us power and authority over sin. It doesn't give us license to sin. So these are some conversations around the gospel. Another thing with the gospel, in today's world, it's really big, these social justice campaigns. Everybody wants to get on these bandwagons, and they want to make their church about social justice horizontal movements. And don't get me wrong, I believe anywhere you find the pure gospel of Jesus Christ, you will find horizontal movements. You will find fruits of the gospel where there's equality of humanity, equality of gender. You will find the marginalized being cared for. You will find those among us who are sick and the widowed and the orphans being taken care of. Those who are laid up with chronic things, the church cares for them because it's a fruit of the gospel, not because it's some horizontal movement. And see, a lot of churches today are getting caught up in, well, we've got to go and fix the world horizontally, and that's the gospel. No, that's a fruit of the gospel. And so I want to give you some clarity today. Characteristic number five, as far as a biblical community that's healthy, you've got to clearly define the gospel, and then you have to teach and you have to preach around that. And it's just not complicated, but we bury it sometimes in these conversations. Movements will come and go, and movements will just fail us. And many times a movement is something people will jump on because they can do it and not have to give up anything for Jesus. I know people who are non-believers who will give of their finances. They'll give their time to people that are less fortunate than because it makes them feel good, because they have some compassion in their life. Well, that doesn't mean they're born again. It doesn't mean, you know, they love Jesus. I know people that believe in a God, and they'll say, yeah, I love God, and I love that He takes care of me, and you know, I believe in God, but they don't believe in Jesus. They're not saved, they're not born again. And a lot of people would say, man, did you hear that celebrity? He's talking about God, and man, he's a Christian. No, he's not. Just because he talks about God, a lot of people love the idea of God, and there are a lot of gods out there, but the gospel points us to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so we have to look at what this looks like. Some other false gospels that are out there is this American gospel that if you come to Jesus, you can have your kingdom and His kingdom. I use the joke, I call it a get out of hell free card. Basically, we want to come to Jesus for salvation, but we don't want anything after that. We don't want lordship. We don't want sanctification. We want to come to Jesus because we don't like the idea of hell. We don't like the idea of something that is a horrible place of punishment. So I will do enough for Jesus to get out of that place, but I'm not going to make Him Lord of my life. I'm not going to lay things down. And so a lot of people teach that if you come to Jesus, I call Him the Santa Claus or the jackpot Jesus or the lottery Jesus. If you just come to Jesus, He's going to make you rich, and He will change everything that's bad in your life to good, and you'll never have a problem ever again. And this Jesus, well, that's a false gospel. That's not the gospel. Surely when you come to Jesus, I believe God wants to prosper us, and He wants us to have an abundant life. And even in the midst of trial and tragedy, He gives us peace, and He will deliver us from dark places, or He'll deliver us through dark places. But to say that Jesus is your ticket to just get whatever you want, or that you can just write your own ticket and say, hey, Santa Claus, Jesus, come bless me. I don't see that as the gospel. Again, as a fruit of the gospel, Jesus does some amazing things in our life, and it's wonderful and it's exciting. He gives us abundant life, and every good and precious gift comes down from the Father of lights. I mean, those are all true statements, but again, those are fruits of the gospel. They're not the foundational conversation. So let me just talk about real quick the simplicity of the gospel. It's not complicated. So the gospel simply is this, that God created humanity in a perfect environment, Adam and Eve, and He gave them dominion, He gave them authority, He gave them free choice. He said, hey, eat of this, don't eat of this, tend my garden. Humanity, through Adam and Eve, sinned against God, introduced sin into the human race. So now there's depravity from the first seed of Adam. Every seed after that comes, is born into this depravity. And so the problem or the monster or the villain in the human story is sin. And so we need to recognize the power of sin, the dominion of sin, what sin causes, separation from God. Sin is horrible. It's tragic. And so that's why the virgin birth is so important. When Jesus was come to this earth, he came not of the seed of man. It says that Mary was impregnated by the power of the Spirit. She didn't carry the seed of man that was depraved. She carried the seed of God. And so Jesus was sinless, spotless. He didn't have the sin nature. And then he died on our behalf. So that's getting further into the conversation. But the gospel is this, that I recognize that I'm depraved. I recognize I'm evil. I'm wicked. I'm an adulterer. If I've ever had an adulterous thought, if I've ever lied, I'm a liar. If I've ever cheated, I'm a cheater. If I've ever had anger in my heart, I'm a murderer. Recognizing the depth of depravity as a human being, and then recognizing my need for a Savior. And what's crazy is a lot of churches, I've heard people, I've sat across the table from people who have been in other churches. I've heard pastors talk about how man is, you know, inherently good. Just most people are good at heart, and they just make some bad choices. That is not the gospel. That is a false gospel. The Bible says there is not one of us that's good. It says we have evil hearts. It says we're separate from God. It says that prior to Christ, all of our affections, our desires, and our decisions were selfish made. They were self-centered. They were full of sinful things, even to the point where Ephesians says, we can't even talk about some of the things we did prior to Christ, because it says our father was the devil and we lived in depravity. And so if you're not preaching that gospel, then you're not preaching the purity of the gospel. A lot of people, I saw a joke years ago in an article. It was a joking article that talked about a woman wonders why she needs Jesus when the pastor just spent 30 minutes telling her how wonderful she is from the pulpit. Like, oh, you're just good and you're wonderful, and inside of you is so many good things. And well, then what do I need Jesus for? That defeats the purpose. So the gospel is showing us this villain called depravity, and then bringing us to a point of tokos, which is that Greek word brokenness, that means we're bankrupt. We recognize our sinful state. We recognize that apart from Christ, I am nothing. I am separate from God. That we mourn over our sin, that we look at God and we say, I have sinned against a holy God. You're holy and I'm not. So the gospel is, I need a Savior. And who is that Savior? It's Jesus. So we look to the gospel, recognizing our depravity, and then we look to Jesus. We say, I can't do it on my own, so I repent, or I turn away from my sin, and I turn to you. I accept your sacrifice. It's a free gift. By faith, I accept it. I had to receive it, but I didn't earn it. I accept the free gift of grace and the sacrifice that you made, because I couldn't take care of that sin problem myself. And it comes to at the point, it comes at the cost of Jesus. It comes at the cost of his life. He was crucified on my behalf, and he was resurrected for the glory of God. And so I come in the name of Jesus, and it says at that point, he gives me new life. I repent of my sins. He transforms me, and he brings me into sonship. My old nature has passed away. Behold, all things have become new, that I'm a son of God now. That's the gospel. That is the power of the gospel. So let me read now beyond that, then it gets into sanctification in my life, then the lordship of Jesus and walking in step with his purpose and plan for my life. That's for another conversation. But Romans 1:14. Actually, Romans 1:16, many of us understand, we've heard that one talked about. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God unto salvation, to the Jews first and also to the Greeks, for everyone who believes. And we love that, but we neglect verses 14, the ones prior to that. Paul said this, I am a debtor to the Greeks and the barbarians, the wise, the unwise. So much as that is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to those who are in Rome also. For the just will live by faith. And then it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God to salvation for all who believes, to Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. But then here's the caveat. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in righteousness. So we focus on, oh, the gospel, it's wonderful, I love Jesus. And we miss the fact, if we're not careful, that if you don't come through a gospel conversation, revelation that you're under the wrath of God. You're under the penalty of sin. You're under unrighteousness. You're suppressing the truth of God. I mean, if you work backwards through that verse, it's like, oh my goodness, I see it now. John 3:16, everybody loves it. John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, see, Jesus doesn't judge anybody. See, Jesus, he just comes to save us, and he's full of love. Well, let's read on. It says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Many of us haven't read 17 and 18. But that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's the gospel. Jesus didn't come to condemn us. We're already condemned. We're already separate from God. So the power of a gospel-centered, you know, characteristic of a healthy church is that you're teaching people you're already separate from God. You're depraved. There is no good in you. You need Jesus. Then when you come to Jesus, oh my gosh, that changes everything. And I've written a whole book, Abiding in Identity. What is it that God's given us once we're born again? The sanctification process and all of the gifts that come with that. I am not denying any of that, but many times we jump over the gospel conversation. We jump over depravity to get to the goodies, and we miss the repentance piece. We miss this whole conversation that we're having here. So it's interesting to me that this even has to be talked about, but it really does. And so I'm going to give you a quick thing real quick. I call this four areas. I don't even really have a label for it. But number one, when it comes to the gospel, is repentance or brokenness. We have to realize that our sinful nature should drive us to seek a solution. What does it look like when we realize that, man, I can't cut it in this life. I don't have the answers. So we're looking for a solution. The second piece, so repentance, is grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor as well as his empowerment. So when you experience grace and you repent to God for the sinful life, for the things in your life, grace floods your life, and you're the floodgates of grace, and God opens wide, and he brings his love, and he moves you past legalism, and he moves you past your past. He moves you past the sinful nature, and then there's this grace piece. And then the third point is obedience. When we repent and we turn away from sin and we're broken, we run into God's grace. Grace then empowers us to walk in obedience. That's the third point. You walk in obedience, not because I'm going to do better for God. It's because his grace empowers you. He transforms your heart. He changes your nature. He gives you new desires. He takes your old desires and sets them aside and gives you new desires to where you begin to walk in obedience. And then when you walk in obedience, you ultimately live a life, number four, of holiness. You walk a life, and in definition, that word means it's a separation. So you're separate from unholy things, from ungodly things. You begin to change things in your life. You say, man, for some reason, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to listen to that. I don't want to watch that. You know, up front, we don't tell people at Catalyst, you got to stop listening to this, stop watching that. That's not my place. My place is the gospel, to get people close to Christ. And through the gospel, there's this grace, this obedience, and ultimately holiness. And I've seen more people born again, set free from past and from hurts, habits, hangups, from addictions, from sinful things, the way that we do it now than the way we used to do it and the way I used to do it. And I was very legalistic and stop doing this and start doing this. Man, it never worked. I didn't see anybody's life change, but now I see grace changing people's lives and walking in obedience and holiness. So that's the last one. I'm already over my time here, but episode 34 here, gospel-centered teaching and preaching. Thank you for checking us out again. AbidingNetwork.com. You can find more resources, or if you have questions or comments about any of this. God bless you. We'll see you next time on the Abiding Life Podcast.